Now, today we've got a hard passage of scripture to find, so if you can't find it, just get your neighbor to help you. But it's Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Y'all didn't laugh. Sometimes I can't be funny at all without on purpose. Tricia, where was you at? You must have been sleeping. If you can't find Genesis, somebody will help you. That's all I can say. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 50, and I want to share with you a message that I've had for some time, not totally completed, but I was waiting for the right time. And for some reason, God impressed me this week that this was the right time. And so I'm going to preach it and pray that it'll be a blessing and encourage to your heart. What I'd like to do is read just verse number 15. We're going to be going through the remainder of the chapter. But by reading verse 15, just kind of get us started. We'll be dealing with the other scripture as we go through it. And so we will cover it all. But the Bible said, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together today in order that we might open the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the truth that is set aside for us in order that we might hear, that we might heed, we might obey the truths that are set before us. Lord, we do ask now that you'd bless as we talk about today the life of Joseph. Joseph, I believe, is one of the great men of the Bible. I'm grateful for what you did in his life, although at times it did not seem good. But Lord, again, I'm grateful that you don't work for our good, but for your glory. And I pray today that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Joseph was a remarkable man. And if you've never read it, or if it's been a long time since you read it, you just need to go back through Genesis where it talks about Joseph and all the things that he went through. The reason he was a remarkable story or a remarkable man is because his life was remarkable because he had so many tragedies and trials that occurred in his life. You know, again, I know we talk about this a lot, but so does the Bible. We understand today that we don't understand why things happen to us. We don't understand why we're going through things. But we need to have the attitude that Joseph had. Joseph's rock was filled with a few victories, but most defeats, if you would, or a few mountains that he had to cross. As a child, Joseph grew up in a really dysfunctional family. We find this, in fact, if you'd listen, just you'd understand. He had 10 stepbrothers, 1 stepsister, and 3 stepmothers. His aunts are his stepmothers, and half of his siblings are his cousins. And his great uncle is his grandfather. Joseph's family tree will literally blow your mind if you stop and try to get all that figured out. And it seemed that because of that environment, they grew up in a family where there was competition. Competition against one another, striving probably to have more than the other did. And I think we find that in the jealousy of Joseph's brothers toward him. But Joseph endured the hatred and cruelty of his brothers. He went through a difficult time. And I'm going to tell you something. It's sad when brothers and sisters in Christ literally have hatred toward another. But even greater, I think, to have hatred toward a loved one that is literally our brother or sister. But he endured all that. But one day, his brothers, they hatched a plan. They said, we're going to take Joseph and we're going to get rid of him. We've got to get him away so we can tell Daddy he died, because they didn't like him, because his daddy, if you remember, made him a coat of many colors. We can't preach without mentioning that. Made him a coat of many colors, and he loved him, and he loved him much because he was the younger at the time. And yet, he was able to endure it. The brothers got together. They hatched a plan. So they took him out. They dug a pit. I don't know what they were going to do or how long they was going to leave him there. But while he was in the pit, they were deciding what to do. They decided, they saw some men coming, and they said, from Egypt, and they said, we'll sell him to these men as a slave. And so literally, that's what he did. Joseph was falsely accused. Now again, remember, all these things happened to him. He was sold into slavery, sold down to Egypt. He was falsely accused of attempted rape, and he was in prison for years. But Joseph was abandoned and forgotten in prison. At least to him it seemed that way. And if you were there, it would have seemed that way as well to you. At some point, Joseph was taken out of prison. And here's where he went to the mountaintop. He came to a place, a position in Egypt with great prestige, much power, and even greater prominence as he served there as the second man. And during all the highs and lows of his life, and I want you to listen to this, through every valley and across every mountain, there's one truth that stood firm. God was working out a perfect plan for Joseph's life. And can I tell you today, if you're a child of God, God's working a perfect plan for your life. Now, we can derail it. We can rebel and we can disobey and we can go an opposite direction. But literally, if you let God work in your life, he'll lead you in the path that he wants you to have. And believe me, it's better than your path. God was working out a perfect plan. Isn't Joseph nears the end of the life? And here's where my title, Before You Go, comes. Even as Joseph nears the end of his life, he continues to display remarkable faith in God. I want to tell you, Joseph had some convictions. When Potiphar's wife came to take him and get him to lie with her, he fought that and he ran. And it ended up costing him, and literally he had to go. When he was in the pit, his brothers sold him. He was abandoned. He was alone, taken down to Egypt as a slave. And even as he comes to the near end of his life, we find in these passages we're going to read the confidence that he had in God's plan. Joseph was the man that he was because he was a man of faith. He was a man that believed God was one that would give him what he needed in his life. And irregardless of what it was, he would be faithful and true to that area of his life. As I studied the life of Joseph, and I've seen in the rest of the Bible, one truth continually confirmed and reaffirmed in my heart. It's the truth that God is behind every event. Did you hear me? Every event that occurs in our life, God is involved. There's no accidents with God. There's no coincidences. Somebody would say, well, Joseph was so good, why did God allow him to go through that? Well, I think he allowed him to go through that because it showed other people how strong his faith was. Showed him how much he believed in God and what he could do. And I believe this is a clear teaching in the Word of God that we need to understand that God has a plan for everyone. In Isaiah 46, verse 9 through 11, he said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Yea, I have spoken it and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it and I will also do it. Now here's something to think about. You said, but preacher, no ifs, ands, and buts about it. God is doing his pleasure in our lives to lead us in the way that he would have us to go. And we should not question God. We should obey God and serve God with all our heart. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, listen, after the counsel of his own will. Not our will, but according to his will. Predestinated. There's that word, means beforehand. So we find here in Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord, here it is, pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all the deep places. Whatsoever the Lord pleased. Friend, today, it's not do as you please. It's do as God pleases because God has a plan. As Joseph approaches the end of his earthly life, Joseph took some steps to demonstrate his absolute confidence that he had in God. And I think even as I get older, and many of us today are getting on there in that age bracket where we need to start thinking about this, but we need to look back and remember all God's done for us, the blessings he bestowed upon us, what he's done in our life. What Joseph did is what we need to do when our time comes and we're ready to leave this world. Don't leave behind any unfinished business. That's exactly what you're going to see in the passage of Scripture today. As he came, he took some steps to where when he left this earth, he was not leaving with any regrets because he knew what he needed to do. If you have your Bibles again, let's go back to our text, verse 15 through 19. We already read verse 15 a while ago, so let's just pick up at verse 16. And they sent a messenger after his brothers took him and sold him and they hated him and was doing all those things. They did evil to him. They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, By the way, I'm going to emphasize it in a moment, but that right there is a lie. They were telling him that they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. They said, behold, we be thy servants. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. I want you to notice, after the death of Jacob, the brothers got a little worried. I think I would have too. Here's a man that they really was thinking about killing. But somehow or another, God, in his providence, spared the life of Joseph. He was sold as a slave. He was placed in a high position to where literally he was over the control of food and everything else they had. So when there was a famine in the land, what happened? His family came there in order that they might get the things that they needed. Boy, were they surprised when they found out it was Joseph. Joseph was not your normal person. Had he been, he would look down his nose at them and probably punish them for what they had done to him. But no, the Bible says he did not do that. In fact, when they did come and do what was a lie and told him those things, the Bible said Joseph wept. Had the privilege years ago of going to Sight and Sound up in Pennsylvania. And I saw the story of Joseph. One of the most powerful parts of that to me was when his brothers was there and Joseph forgave them. And I believe today that it ought to be in our life to understand the truth that is there. But here's his brothers. Why are they worried? Well, they remembered the plan they concocted. They remembered the plan that they set forth years ago. They hated him. They hated him. Literally, they hated him enough to kill him. But God's providence kept them from that. They sold him as a slave. This is their blood. This is their daddy's apple of his eye, the one that loves him more than any. It was covered up in his disappearance by lying and saying that he was dead. They took animal blood and put it on his coat. They took it back to his father and said, Joseph is no longer. He's been killed, and here's the blood of the animal that took him. So all these things begin to make them a little nervous. And I think as they begin to get nervous, they begin to think about and reflect upon all the things they had done. And these things, many others, they were afraid. Because Jacob, their father, is dead, the brothers are afraid Joseph will seek revenge upon them. It would be the natural thing to do, not literally as a Christian, but unfortunately that's the way people operate. And they want him to believe that their dad, before he died, told them to send a messenger and tell him that he understood what was going on and that he wanted them to forgive him. Now that was interesting, but his dad didn't have to send a message for him to forgive because Joseph was the kind of man that had already forgiven them. As far as he was concerned, it was in the past. It was never in his heart to hold revenge. He was not that type of person. Would to God that we had more Christians that way today. He had forgiven them for their transgressions long time ago. So for them to come and tell him that, literally made him weep. It made him sad that they still were still evil in many ways. But he had forgiven them for what they had done. We have no record of Joseph harming anybody. We have no record of him holding grudges against anybody. In fact, he reminds his brothers that he is not in the place of God. We find here in the scripture, he says, I am in the place of God. But literally, what he means is, I'm in the position over you now, but I'm not the final judge. The real judge is God Almighty. I'm in my position here, but one day you'll stand before God and give an account of your life. As we pass through life, there'll be times when we're hurt by words. We're hurt by actions. And some of you have been hurt deeply. And again, I can't emphasize the importance enough to understand the importance of forgiveness. Friend, you can go through life and be bitter. You can go through life with hard feelings. But listen, Joseph said, by the grace of God, I have done what I've done, trying to be right with God. And when I die, I want to die with a clear conscience that I have taken care of all business in my life. The Bible said in Luke 17:3-5, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day. Well, this is a hard one, isn't it? If he trespass again, in other words, if he does evil against you seven times in a day. He said seven times in a day, turn around saying, I repent that thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, when they heard that, they said, increase our faith. Friend, today, I think the thing that's missing in the Christian life today is enough faith to be the kind of faith that Joseph had in his life. Truly, there were so many things that came against him, but they said, increase our faith. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here it is. And I tell you, the thing that's helped me through the years, when I finally came to the realization that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave me of all my sin, I tell you, it was like a light come on in my mind. And I said, if God was willing to forgive me, if God was willing to spare me from hell and take me to heaven, why in the world can I not forgive others when they trespassed against me? I don't care what they've done. It makes a difference. Somebody said, but preacher, you don't understand. No, I don't understand, but I do understand that God wants us to forgive people. We find one day we'll leave this world, and we leave it, as I've already mentioned, I want to leave it with a clean conscience. I would hate, you know what's sad? Sometimes families, a loved one will die, and they hadn't talked in 3 years, 5 years, maybe a long period of time. And that person gets to that funeral, and boy, they said, oh, I wish I would have called them. I wish I'd have forgave them. I wish I'd have done this or that or the other. But the truth of it is, it's too late then. So the best thing to do is take care of business like Joseph did before you come to the end of the life. If you're the offending party, if you've offended somebody, not only are you to forgive others, but if you've offended somebody, you need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness. The relationship with God will never be what it could be. The Bible said in Matthew 5:23-24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to the brother, and come and offer thy gift. Here's the meaning of that. Literally, we're about to take the offer. Not really, we already have, but just by example. We're fixing to take the offering, and so you've got your check made out, and this time you even put in an extra $500 or maybe an extra $1,000 just because you love the Lord. He said, if you got aught against a brother, bring the offering, put it in the plate, but then turn and go back and find the person. If they're there, or even if they're not, go find where they're at and make things right. In other words, God says, your gifts are not worth anything as long as you've got aught in your heart toward a brother. And then if you're the offended party, you need to take the matter to the Lord. Listen, I can't make people, if somebody does something against me, I can't make them like me. I can do what I can to try to help them to like me and to give me a peace of forgiveness in my life. But you just take the matter. If they won't forgive you, just go to the Lord. He knows all about it. But you'll never be happy in the Lord. Your joy will never be full. And you'll never be used to him until you have forgiven those who have wronged you. So again, if you're offended, just take it to the Lord. If the person don't forgive, ask for forgiveness, it's impossible for you to give them forgiveness. But you can forgive them even as Joseph had forgiven his brothers already. Joseph, by the way, didn't sugarcoat what they had done. It's quite interesting. I believe Joseph showed his brothers. I believe before they got out there, they were still pretty nervous about how things were going. Because Joseph, I think, called the sin as it was. And he explained to them what was going on. Hebrews 12:15 said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm going to tell you, honestly, and you've heard me talk about it, but we carry baggage. We've got people that we haven't forgiven, and there's people that's offended us that haven't asked for forgiveness, but by the grace of God and through the Lord's help, I hope you've already forgiven them. But Joseph is able to leave this world knowing that he didn't leave any stone unturned. He made things right. Not only was he right with God, but he made sure he was right with his brothers, the things they did. The first thing we noticed, and I forgot to tell it, I guess, we've already gone through it, but it's the you must release your past. Sorry, that was my bad. The second thing is, you must remember God's providence. Look at verse 20 and 21. He said, but as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, and to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much alive. Now again, we've already said, he doesn't pretend that they hadn't done no evil, but he knew the intent of their heart. He literally knew where they would. He knew they had betrayed him. He knew they had sold him into slavery. But I believe Joseph saw something deeper. You know, we can find everybody's faults. I guarantee you, you say, well, look at so-and-so over there and this one over there. And by the way, when you're serving the Lord, understand you're serving the Lord. You're not serving other people. And what they do, you can't do anything about. So just serve the Lord and be faithful to him, because you're going to stand to give an account to God for what you've done rather than having to get account for what they've done. But I've seen people look around. Lord, that's a dangerous thing in the church. Start looking around. Well, they're not doing what I'm doing, or they're not doing it like I'm doing. Well, bless your heart, everybody's not going to do like you do. And thank the Lord, everybody's not going to do like some do, because we need all different kind of people to do all kind of different things. But he saw in the verse 20, but God, he said, it was evil, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass in that day to save much alive. Then look at verse 21. Now therefore, he calms their fears. Fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Get the picture, folks. Joseph is a man that has experienced things you and I will never experience, and some of the greatest tragedies and some of the greatest things that happened in his life, prison, pit, the whole thing. But here he is. I know you did it for evil, but God had a plan. And I'm not looking at what you're doing. I'm looking at what God's plan is for each and every one of our lives. Joseph didn't understand why everything happened. But you know, Joseph was the type of guy, he didn't need to understand. He just needed to trust God in what he would do. He knew God was bigger than his brothers. God was bigger than being enslaved. God is bigger than being mistreated or imprisoned or having a broken heart and the sins and sights of others. So it was hard for him to understand that, but he knew God was bigger. Friend, we serve an awesome God. She sang a while ago, we need God. Friend, I tell you today, we need God like we've never needed God before, and it needs to begin in the house of God, making sure we're right with God, even as Joseph was doing it. Remember God's providence. Joseph looks back over 30 years of trials, triumphs, and he acknowledges God's hand. In every detail of his life, Joseph knew that the hand of God was working, the hand of God was leading, and Joseph was one that said, I will follow you wherever you lead me, and whatever happens to me, I'll still know you're in charge, and I'll know where I'm at, because you put help, it's your will for me to be here. He suffered hatred, betrayal, slavery, imprisonment, loneliness, and separation. But he said, don't matter, God had a bigger plan. And I'm going to tell you something when I get to the end here. I don't want to blow my cover. But I'm going to tell you, this is an exciting passage of Scripture. God used valleys and victories in Joseph's life to reach his brothers. To reach his brothers. You hear what I'm saying? You know, sometime our bitterness, unforgiveness towards somebody could cause them to be lost forever. But here's Joseph. After all they'd done, after all he had been through, he tells them not to fear, but he comes to the place in his life where literally he comforts them. And he says, you did evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for your good and for his glory. Goes without saying, we probably will not accomplish the things in our life that he was doing. I want you to notice what he said. He said in verse 20, to bring to pass, as it is written this day, To save much people alive. What is the purpose of us being on this earth? To witness and tell others about Christ. To see people go to heaven. Am I not right? And so here he tells Joseph, and Joseph tells his brothers, listen, it was good even though it was bad. And it'll come to pass in that day. But God's going to use it. What was he doing? Joseph saved a lot of people literally because of his position and because of his power. Every valley, every victory is a part of God's perfect plan. Here's my favorite verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Listen, I want you to understand that. He said, and we know all things. Not some, not a few, but we know all things. If you're a child of God, walking in the will of God, obeying God, then God's will and plan will be what he wants in your life. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience is something we all need. But yet, the trying of our faith, that's what brings patience. 1 Peter 1:7-8, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We'd have to admit that we like victory better than we do mountains or defeat, valleys. We like to be on the mountain. I like the song Tricia sings about the God of the mountain. But friend, I want you to know the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. And I tell you what, we go over some bumps and roads and down and up and up and down. But remember, if you're a child of God, God is working in our life. And how do we handle that? Well, according to that, the question we face, are you willing to joyfully endure everything life throws at you, knowing that God is behind it all and knowing that he's going to get the glory? Somebody said, what can I do for him? Just do what comes in your lives, what he allows to come into your life. Do it with faith and trust. Know that it's for your good and definitely for his glory. And that's what we can do for God today. He wants and deserves he wants us to give him glory for what he's done. Are you willing to accept his will? Boy, that song gets to me every time I hear it. I'm scared to sing it. It says, whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. And I never sing that song or look at that song that I don't think before I sing it, I need to be sure that I'm right, that my heart has been cleansed, that I have forgiven those that I need to forgive, and I've been forgiven for those I've offended. This was Paul's experience. You remember, he had a thorn in the flesh. He went to God. He said, Lord, if you would, please, whatever you can. He said, if you would, take this thorn away from me. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, here's what God said. This is God's reply to his prayer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, then am I strong. We should strive to make it ours as well. Lord, don't know why. Sure wish you'd remove it if you will, but if you don't, you got enough grace to get me through. Joseph lived on the grace of God. He lived on faith in God. Two important truths about this. We go through hard places. And honestly, I've seen people that have been in church for years. Something tragic happens, or they go through something, or they get something. And they get angry with God. They forget what God's done. I'm talking about people that have seen God work. And I've seen them, they get to the place, and they forget about God's sovereign grace. I see people sometimes that never darken the door of church. They don't want to talk to you about church. They don't want to talk to you about the Word of God. They don't want to talk to you about nothing. But when something happens, you know what they say? Why did God allow this to happen to me? But for the child of God, We know why God allows it to happen to us, because it's His will. And we're doing His will, serving Him, being faithful to Him, and whatever He sends our way, we must handle. Now, there's two important truths found here. God, even if we fall, God is always there to catch you. I tell you, sometime on these healing services on TV, they'll have what they call a catcher. He'll stand behind the person, and when they slay them and whatever they do, they slay them in the spirit, then that person falls back, and they got somebody there to catch them when they fall, and all of them fall the same way. But, you know, thank the Lord, when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a difficulty, I may falter, and I may even fail, but God's always there to pick me up and dust me off and set me on the path again. This was His experience. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's pretty good. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath of the everlasting arms, He will catch you. And He invites you to come to Him for comfort and consolation. I believe that Joseph is somewhat like a type of Christ. We see what he does. Where he first of all, he's willing to forgive. He's willing to give to them the nourishment they need. But then also, he's there to comfort them. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, and we're grateful for that. But he invites them to come. What does he say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 5, 7, he says, casting all your care upon me, for he careth for you. Hebrews 4, 15, 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. I believe Joseph had the encouragement from God all through what he was doing, because he definitely knew him well. Then thirdly, you must rest in God's promises. Start with me in verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought unto Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, this important verse, and bring you out of this land into a land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. After a long, productive life, not an easy one, but very productive, the time had come for Joseph to leave this world. When the time came, Joseph made his children promise that they wouldn't leave him there. They wanted the children of Israel to take him with him, and they did. They carried him back to Egypt. He wanted the Israelites to take him back, not take him back to Egypt, but take him with them as they went. Joseph is now, in these verses, claiming the promise of God many years that'll be coming later. Here's the promise in Genesis 46 through 2 through 4. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, but I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. I don't know if you catch that, but here's Joseph fulfilling God's will, but yet look what God's going to do for him because of what he's done and the way he's acted. And some 400 years later, God raised up a man by the name of Moses to lead the children out of Egypt, take them to the place they needed to be. They left the land of slavery, and they took the bones of Joseph with them. He said, you got to take me out of here. This is the same assurance that the saints have today. We are looking for the visitation from the Lord. But I tell you, we may come to that point. We may come to the end of our life. We may come to the point where we want to be sure we're right with God. But there's one thing we better know we're right with God, is know that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. The sad truth, the mortality, brothers of many, we are leaving this world, but death is not the end. You're leaving. You're going one place or the other. In John 5, 28, 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of the life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. What had happened in Joseph's life, it was not just good things going on down in Egypt, but God was preparing him for a whole nation, and for many people to be saved, because he was what he needed to be, and what he ought to be. Our departed loved ones who died with their faith in Jesus, they're with the Lord today. I tell you, that's the only consolation I have with my family being gone. It's there in heaven, and one day I'll see them again. The dead saints are going to be raised again and going to receive a glorified body. And we have even greater promise than the one given to Israel. Our Lord is preparing a place. Just as God sent Joseph to prepare the way for many, even his brothers, to come to this point, while we're walking through this weary world, God is preparing a place for each and every one of us. The Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it refers to a depart, or 2 Timothy 4, 6, it refers to a departure. That's a traveler's term, a soldier's term, a farmer's term, a legal term, departure. So whether I leave this Lord's, whether I leave in the Lord's return or I leave by death, I still know that I'm going to heaven one day to be with him. Joseph left this world in spite of all the experience, clinging to the truth of the Word of God. Friend, I say to you today, the greatest thing we can do is leave this world hanging to the truth of God. He left us here with God and man. He left us here with full assurance that God had led him every step of the way. He left here knowing that death was not the end, and there was a better future coming. And 400 years later, God had Moses raise up and go and take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Be sure you've taken the proper steps. Are you right with fellow man? Is there anybody today that would say, there's somebody I need to go make amends with? Is everything like it should be between you and the rest of the family? If there's problems, fix it. Do you have the absolute assurance of God's sovereign hand being active in your part of life? The events that come, bring those areas of doubt and confusion to the Lord. Let him help you. Can you face your own death with confidence? Do you have assurance today that you're saved by the grace of God? Where will you spend eternity? And those of you that know where you'll spend eternity, my question to you, is your heart where it needs to be? Are you right with God in serving him?